Hack the Entrepreneur is part of Rainmaker FM, the digital business podcast network. Find more great shows and education at rainmaker.fm. Today's episode is brought to you by Hack the Entrepreneur, the book, How to Stop Procrastinating, Build a Business, and Do Work That Matters. Are you stuck and don't know what to do next? Grab a copy of this book and I will be your personal mastermind coach and mentor, and I will give you the guidance and the kick in the ass that you need today. Do you want to do work that matters? If you want to work on projects that make a real impact and have meaning to you and others, this book will let you discover your true value. Do you also want to control your destiny? If you want to design a lifestyle that puts you in control of your time and income, this book is absolutely for you. This book is not a best of or a greatest hits of all my episodes. This is you learning specifically from 50 brilliant entrepreneurs and myself. I love how the internet has changed mine and my family's life, and I cannot wait to help you start, build, and grow your very own online business. Plus, it has a special foreword by none other than Chris Brogan. Grab your copy today at htebook.com. It is just $2.99 on Amazon right now. That's htebook.com, or go straight to Amazon and search Hack the Entrepreneur.
Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
Hey, hey, welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur. It is so very cool of you to join me today. I'm your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is a coach, CEO, author, top authority on internet marketing, and a serial entrepreneur. In 2006, she founded an online company that did over $1 million in sales in less than a year. She is currently the CEO of Sexy Boss, which aims to empower women entrepreneurs to start an online business. She also runs Havenwood Worldwide, a seminar and education business. This savvy entrepreneur is the author of several books, such as The Game of Dating and How to Play It. Her latest book, Sexy Boss, discusses what it's like to be a woman leader in the virtual business world. Now, let's hack. Heather Havenwood. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur is brought to you by Taxify, effortless sales tax software for small and mid-sized businesses. We've all heard the horror stories. Some of them, myself included, have actually witnessed this firsthand, and it really hurts. But we've all heard the horror stories of an acquisition going south because of paperwork that was not taken care of. When it comes to taxes, those worrying days are over. Taxify has 35 years of expertise to help you navigate the 45 states that require sales tax. It's an affordable, convenient tool that integrates seamlessly with the platforms that you already use and love to sell your products. Hack the Entrepreneur listeners can try out Taxify for free today, like right now. Jump on over to taxify.co. That's right, not .com. That's taxify.co/hack. You will get a one-month free trial of Taxify. Plus, special bonus, Hack the Entrepreneur listeners only, you will receive 20% off your entire first year. This means if you act right now, you'll get Taxify support for your January filing. No credit card is required, and you'll be on your way to getting sales tax out of the way in just minutes. Go to taxify.co/hack right now and grab your free one-month trial. We are back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur. And today we have another very, very, very special guest. Heather, welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thanks for having me, John.
This is going to be a blast.
Yes, it is. Get to hack me.
Yes.
Hack Heather. Hashtag hack Heather.
Nice. Starting our own hashtags. All right, let's jump into this. Heather, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
Have a coach. Yeah, number one. I know that sounds odd, but it's having a coach, because I think as an entrepreneur, I'm a little ADD. I know I am. And I get in my own head and it swirls around a lot. And I think having that sounding board, which is my coach, helps me focus on wanting to focus on take actions on. If not, I'd probably be swirling around in a boat round and round and round down Austin Lake. But honestly, it's the consistency of having a coach in my life.
Will you tell us who your coach is?
Yeah, sure. Yeah. Kim Demasco. She's awesome. That's why I become a coach. I've had a coach now with her for 5 years. Before that, I had a coach for 7 years. I've always had a strong coach in my life. And what's interesting about that is my dad's a life coach, actually. And one day I called him when I was like 25 and I was, you know, I think you're 25, like, I don't know what to do with the rest of my life. You know, that call, you know, and what do? I thought I was to be a millionaire by the time I was 26. It's not happening, you know. So I had that call and he was like, oh, get a coach. I can't, yeah, I can't go. I just can't go there. And at the time, of course, I was like, you don't love me as my dad anymore. But I think now that was probably the best decision, because a coach is a third party. It's not your girlfriend. It's not your guy friend. It's not your mom. It's not your dad. It's really that third party person to say, okay, really, is that really the best choice? You know, and you're paying them to ask you those hard questions. Is that really the best choice for you right now? What about this? And you know, you listen to them. And it also helps you listen to yourself. And they ask you the question, well, you know the answer. What is that answer? So it helps guide you become a better person. And Jim Rohn's one of my mentors. Of course, he's passed away, but he always talked about, you know, you change yourself, you change your life, you change yourself, you change your income. If you don't like the income you have, then change yourself. And that starts with, you know, self-coaching and or having someone who helps you through that process.
So after...
And that's why I coach today.
Nice. So after your dad told you to get a coach, what's the steps? Like, how do you go about finding a coach that's right for you?
That's a good question. I called my dad dumped me. Let's write a book. My dad dumped me. Yes, I think honestly, I'm a marketing coach now for and I have many clients myself. And I think the process is figuring out, you know, what you want to do and then getting a coach that's going to be a good coach is someone who's what I call third party, not a consultant. Okay. Consultant will tell you how to do something. For instance, you talked about how you teach people how to podcast. You're a consultant. You're like, do this, get this software, get that. You know, this is how you monetize. There's like a consultant aspect to that, meaning you're telling them the steps to do something. But a coach is like, well, are you sure podcasting is the way that you should go for your business? What are the other options with that? Have you looked at the monetary aspects of that? Like it asks you a question. A coach is actually just says, you said you wanted to make $2 million. Is this really the best choice? So going about finding a coach is interviewing other coaches, actually getting on the phone with a coach and say, I want to interview you and see if you're a best fit for me. It is really like dating in a way. You have to find someone that you love and adore, but also you respect, but annoys you at the same time. That you respect and you'll listen to. I think all my coaches that I've had in my life, if I didn't respect them, the relationship would definitely end. You have to respect them for who they are in the world.
Nice.
And so that's what I do with my clients, is I become kind of a part of their life. Even though they hire me as a marketing coach and I really work with them on their business and doubling their business, is it always ends back to who are they, what's going on in their real world, what's happening in their whole life. Because it always affects your business life.
Yeah. And that's kind of, it's interesting. I've never thought of the difference between a coach and a consultant. I kind of thought they were the same, but they're totally mm-hmm. different.
Yeah. So another way to say that is a coach will come in and say, you know, John, what is your goal here with Hack the Entrepreneur? And you'll say, you know, get to 1 million downloads in X or whatever it is. Okay. Or I want to be number one on Nose Net, whatever your goal is. I'm going to go, great, we're going to
go. Both those, by the way.
Okay, great. So yes. You're done, right?
Yes.
Next, what's
done.
Next level for
Let's
you?
Let's close it up. That's it.
That's it. Yeah, it'll ask the questions, but you create the future and then the coach will make sure that you're fulfilling on what you said you want. You know, a consultant will give you the answer or the path. Okay. That's what a consultant does. So like an educator, it's a trainer, as well as maybe do the work. Consultants sometimes do the work for you, mm-hmm. or trainers will train you to do the work. But a coach doesn't do either one. A coach is more somebody that will make sure you're staying on the right path. A great side of that is football coach, baseball coach, making you the best player, but they never actually pick up the bat, you know?
That's true.
They never actually throw the ball for you. They're like, you're throwing the ball wrong. Throw it to the left, not the right. You said you want to be number one, right? Get the get out there again. That's the coach.
Nice. So that's cool. That's a cool, difference between the two that I think will help. Well, it's going to help me and it's going to help probably people listening. So thank you for that.
You're welcome.
So there seems to be this time, Heather, in every entrepreneur's life when they realize one of two things. Either they have this calling to make something big in the world and make a huge difference, or they find that they just simply cannot work for somebody else anymore.
Mm.
So I would love to know which side of the fence you fall on and how you, or when you discovered this about yourself.
I'm 100% unemployable. I have worked for people in more of a group dynamic where we're all kind of leaders and we were given more of a freedom to lead. But the work for a boss and it has to go this way, when an entrepreneur sees, for me at least, I see different pathways. Well, you said, well, you want this pathway. Well, here's a path. Why do we have to go that path? Well, because the boss says so. Well, that's stupid. The boss is stupid. And all of a sudden you're fired. You're not supposed to say that. Why can't I say that? Why can't I say the boss is stupid? You know, and then all of a sudden I'm fired. I've been fired a lot, by the way. And what's interesting about it is every single person that fired me, almost all my bosses, they love me. Like, I think you're really smart. And like, I love working with you. But the problem is like, you won't do it our way. You know, and I'm like, but your way isn't right. You know, they're like, hence why we're firing you. We love you. And they're like, you're so unemployable. I'm like, I know. It's kind of laughable. But there was definitely a point where this actually last time it was about, when was it? 6 or 7 years ago. I went back to corporate world and I lasted 3 months, which all my friends were like, we're so happy for you. Look at that. 3 months. We didn't think you lasted a month. And both my boss and my boss's boss like brought me in the room and they had this like loving, like dropping of their heads and kind of just, we're just not sure what to do with you, Heather, you know? And even though I was doing well numbers wise, like I was in sales and my numbers were up, I wasn't fitting the mold, you know, of the corporate structure. And so they let me go. But what's interesting about that, a year later, my regional boss, like two up from me, called me and said, hey, I'm starting my own business. What do I do? Like, how weird is that? But I think there's a moment when finally you just, for me at least, it was like, I really am unemployable. I just have to own that for myself. I have too many ideas and I speak them freely. I don't like feeling like I'm restricted. So I think there's a choice. I could have obviously made a choice to stay inside the corporate world and play under their rules, and I probably would have been successful. But I felt at that point in my life too restricted. I felt like I was in a prison. And so now I'm in this free world called entrepreneurial world. But I would say it's better. I would just say it's different. It has different rules than corporate world. That's what I
would
say.
That's a good sort of way to say it. It's true. It's not better as in, like, it's there's no, like, it's like apples and oranges, right? There's not a comparison between an apple and an orange. Sometimes you want one, sometimes you want the other. There's like highs and lows of each. There's benefits and sort of weaknesses to each.
I kind of wish I was a corporate person. You know, there's days that I'm like, God, I wish I just worked for a company and been there for 20 years and I get there at 9, I leave at 5 and that'd be great. But actually, I know that my creative side would probably have been died off. You know, I'm a bodybuilder and I'll explain it this way. So I'm a bodybuilder and I work out. And if you don't get in the gym and build the muscle will atrophy. Right? We all know that. Okay. Same thing in business. If you don't build your entrepreneurial, your creative side, it will atrophy. So I'm sure if I stayed in corporate world a long time ago and just stayed in there, I probably would have been fine. But there was a moment that I got out and I learned to build my creativity. And I was starting to be more outspoken. And I started to create and I started to see I can make money from creation. And there was like this aha moment. And then going back to prison, as I call it, where I had to atrophy that, it almost felt like I was killing something off. And so there's people that have never experienced that, never experienced, oh, wow, I can make money from my creation. So, but the moment you do, the moment you have that, it's like, wow, I can make money from my creation. And then you'll want to continue to build that muscle and stay in the gym and be an entrepreneur and grow.
Yeah. And you'll
grow that part of you.
And you'll never want to go back.
And
there's a few other like sort of muscles that you have to obviously work as like an entrepreneur, but you're right. And that like metaphor to muscle building is, I use it so often because it's so true. Like the idea of being like sort of comfortable being uncomfortable, not maybe knowing where your next money comes from, not knowing what your next project's going to be. All these things that at the beginning really make you like stressed, and you have to just learn to just, no, that's like kind of how it is. And the idea of just like, well, what if I do something and it's completely wrong? It's like, well, you just have to get used to that. You really do. And the more you do it and the more business ideas you come up with, the more you can come up with. They're all muscles mm-hmm. that you just have to work.
Mm-hmm.
And they're all essential to your success as an entrepreneur. But to me, it's like really like life's not supposed to just be comfortable and just you always know what's going to happen. At least I don't see it as that.
Yeah, I don't.
And so what's the point, right?
Right. I agree with that completely. Not, entrepreneur is not comfy. I wouldn't say entrepreneurial world is comfy.
No, like no, not at all. And
it's not comfy. Right. Let's just be really clear. Uncomfy. But it's fun.
Exactly.
And it's creative. And there's a lot of opportunities. But yeah, it's definitely not comfy.
Exactly.
It actually makes me giggle. That's funny.
It is. Okay. Yeah. So Heather, at the beginning, you said your one thing is having a coach and being coachable. So every expert now, every blog post you read talks about 80-20. Do 20% of the work, get 80% of the results. Do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Can you, Heather, tell me something that you are absolutely not good at in your business?
Yeah, I can't use Photoshop for the life of me. And I've tried. I've really tried. There is something about me opening up Photoshop and trying to create an image that just makes me want to hurl. I just can't do it. So I found a great person, a vendor, that I pay him a monthly fee and he creates for me in Photoshop. There's something about that particular program. And I'm really savvy with programs. Like I could take on a program, like learn it. And there's something about Photoshop that I just can't do. And as an entrepreneur and online, you have to kind of have some images out there. But what I'm good at is copy and sales copy. And I'm usually the one who's always doing the sales copy, the headlines, what's the marketing aspect? Who's our target market? Who's our avatar? What are the colors we should be using, not using? What are the fonts? Don't use that font. Use this font. I just can't get into Photoshop and do it. I've tried so many times.
I wonder if that's a thing amongst us because there's, I think, only one like software product in this world that it just baffles me.
Yes.
And I literally, like, as I was growing up, spent years with Photoshop trying to, like, I'm gonna just figure this out, read books about it and figure it out. I almost like start drooling when I open up Photoshop. Like I have no idea what to do. This is baffling. So
you're not the only one. See,
I know. I feel so good knowing that I'm not the only one.
I want to hold your hand and hug you. Like, oh, I'm not the only one.
But you know what you do need is you need Canva.com.
I have Canva. And when I need some simple stuff, I do use it. But like really deep stuff,
Exactly. But if you just need something quick, like,
yeah.
I put up a blog post yesterday because I just written it and I just wanted to put it out. It was like Canva and like 4 minutes I can create good artwork. And it's like,
I love Canva. But you know, where was Canva 5 years ago?
Exactly. It was just in somebody's head.
Back then, getting the image done was like, that'll be $1,000. Like, damn it. You know, so I definitely did take on trying to figure it out. And then finally, I just let it go that this is just something I can't do.
Fair enough. And you need to know those things and you have to admit them to yourself and then you have to delegate that out. And you did it.
But the other part of that is understanding, but I still understand colors. I still what looks good, what the fonts are, you know. Place this versus here, what would look good? You got to know what looks good. Doesn't mean that you know how to sew it or Photoshop. You still have to know what people want and what avatar. You're not going to use hot pink if your target market's men.
Maybe the problem is you're trying to sew in Photoshop.
Well, this is a concept. Like if you're metaphorically, if you're a creator of clothes, you don't necessarily.
But know yeah, to I sell. Totally agree because designers aren't marketers. They don't know how to sell stuff. They just know how to design things. And so you have to be the marketing side and.
You still have to be the marketing person because, yeah, designers will give you something that looks really quote unquote good.
Yeah.
And in a marketing aspect, it looks really, really bad.
Exactly.
So you have to know the distinction between marketing, design, and design.
You need to stand up to those people because they'll tell you, no, this is the right color. This is the new flat, whatever design. It's like, I know, but that's flashy. Not what people are going to buy. It's the people won't buy it.
Yes. Yes. That's very true. I've had my run-ins with designers that way. So, yeah.
Okay, Heather, let's talk work, can we?
Yeah, sure.
Today's a work day. I don't know.
It is.
You have an interview today with me, and I'm not sure if you have coaching clients or other things to deal with. but it is a work day. So could you walk me through from waking up to say the first 30 to 60 minutes, whatever your sort of routine is, what you go through in the morning to set yourself up to get the things done today that you needed to get done?
I'm a big believer, you know, from my mentors I've had along the way, my coach, as well as Jim Rohn's, a few others, that the morning's really a powerful time. So I'm not going to lie. I wake up. First thing I do is I get into like a workout gear and I go walk the dog and I get out in nature. It's not really about walking the dog. I mean, she has to go to the bathroom, but it's more about getting out in nature and just start focusing on breathing and gratitude. Because I don't know about you, but I wake up in a world of negativity. So I have to really kind of reprogram my brain. Sometimes in the background, I'm listening to Jim Rohn when I'm getting ready, or something positive in the background where it gets shifts my brain into something to focus, you know, what I want, creation. That's the first thing I do. Come back. I definitely get coffee. Then I get on the treadmill, believe it or not, because I don't like really walk hard with my dog. We just kind of stroll and all that. So then I get on a treadmill and I go hard for 20 minutes because I'm a bodybuilder. Then after that, I eat. I have a big breakfast. And I take my time having breakfast and coffee. And I also, at the same time, while I'm having breakfast, I actually write in a journal, like an intention of the day. Then I go upstairs, then I get on the computer, and then I get into my email. I try hard not to touch my email before that time. And I think because your brain just starts to, you know, go off into email land. So I do all of that before I even get to my email. The other thing I do, this is kind of what I call a brain hack, because there's some friends of mine that they love to do what they call brain hacks, is the first thing I do in the morning when I go downstairs is I drink two glasses of water, like big two glasses of water, basically that 16 ounces. And what that does is that it brings water right back into your brain immediately, because you're dehydrated. You haven't really drinking anything for 8 hours, right? Or 7 hours, 6 hours. And so it brings water right back to your brain and all your vital organs, and it wakes you up. No coffee. First thing is two glasses of water. Then I'll drink my coffee. But it actually really kind of just like wakes you up, because it just kind of puts water back into your brain. Believe it or not, your brain will wake up with that water.
That's impressive. I actually do the one full big like pint glass, sort of like, I guess, 8 ounces of water before coffee too. Like the very first thing I do just.
Yeah, very first thing.
But not two. Maybe I should go to two. I should up it.
Go to 16. Yeah.
So what specifically is the intention of the day?
Oh, that's a great question. Let's see, today I could pull.
But is that, or is that like the to-do thing you have to do, or is that something bigger?
No, it's more of an intention, like what I want to focus on or what I want to create. Like today was like more, be generous with others, just really kind of focus on generosity.
Oh, nice. Okay.
Yeah, it's increasing my value. Where can I increase my value in the world? How can I add more value to the planet? How can I add more value to my list? I think it's just an intentionality versus a to-do list. A to-do list is really task-oriented and details in the actions you have to fulfill on your intention. And you focus on the intention, it actually does make a difference. Now, there are days that I'm not perfect at this. Don't get me wrong. I'm not perfect. But the days that I'm not doing it, my day goes haywire. It just doesn't, nothing goes right. Everything just kind of goes off. So creating an intention for the day does make a big difference when you're an entrepreneur. Yeah. And when you're an entrepreneur, you're creating the intention for the day. Your boss isn't, you know. There's meetings and stuff like that. My calendar's full. I have coaching clients. I have a coaching call with I have a podcast. I go work out. I have a leg workout today. I mean, there's things that I'm doing throughout the day, but at the same time, I have an intentionality of the day and how it's going to be and what am I doing this all for? I mean, that's important.
Yeah. So it's focus. It's not like being the ability to be your own boss, but not actually being the boss and making an intention. You are actually making the intention and becoming the actual boss.
Yeah.
Smart.
You got to hack your own brain.
You do. It's self-awareness and knowing what you're good at, what you're not, and finding ways to work around it.
I mean, it's good entrepreneur, a good business person hacks their own brain, because left to our own devices, our brain just is going in circles and circles and circles and saying a lot of negative stuff. You know, but a good entrepreneur actually knows how to, or business person, successful person, knows how to hack their own brain, knows how to stop the wheel from turning and shift it.
That voice.
And that's what you have to do.
That voice from questioning everything you want to do.
Yeah.
Nonstop voice in your head.
Oh, it's, yeah. And one of the good things about being a coach and having a coach is that it's one of the safe spaces I can just kind of what I call puke. And I also I tell my clients, you can puke here. You know, you can, meaning you can just bleh, like get it all out. Because once you get it all out, like the complaining or the upset or whatever, then we can shift it. And then you can go, okay, well, what are we going to focus on? But sometimes you got to, you know, let it all out before you can create something new.
So you're a psychiatrist for entrepreneurs.
I don't know. Am I? I think I just had, this is me, all my hacks. You know, this is things I've had to do to move through it. I'm just giving you my little hacks. Remember, hashtag Heather hack. There you go.
Fair enough. Fair enough. Okay, Heather, let's move to projects if we can.
Sure.
Projects is a very loose term.
It is a loose term.
Any sort of new venture you want to go into, either within your business or a new one. Before we started recording, you talked about possibly starting a podcast. So that's obviously a project.
Yeah.
I would like to know your internal, like your personal process for when an idea comes either through your inbox or just through your head, how you decide that a project is now worth your time, energy, and resources.
I put it to a question. And the question is, and this was given to me, and I'm giving it to everyone here. The question is, does this feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity? Wow. And it's really simple. Because if you know your intention, you know where you're headed, even generally speaking, you know, when you have an opportunity that comes your way, and there's a lot that comes your way, and just as an entrepreneur, if you put that situation, like for me, I'm wanting to start a podcast, is does it feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity? It's very clear to me that it strengthens the clarity of my business, right? So it's not, it doesn't cause confusion, but I'm sure, and I have myself, someone goes, oh, this is a great opportunity. They're all making millions of dollars. You got to get in this next MLM or whatever. And does it strengthen my clarity? Does it feed feed confusion? Feeds confusion for me. It's not where I want to go. Even though I could have made $1 million on it, it still was not something that I need to focus on. So that's why I put it to, especially in projects. Also, you could put that up against relationships or business relationships. I've had that where someone comes to me and goes, I could do this for you. I could do this for you. I could whatever, right? And I'll think about it and then I'll put it to the question. Does it feed my confusion or strengthen my clarity in my business?
That's awesome.
And you'll know me immediately.
You will.
Like, boom.
Yeah.
It's like, boom, it'll be right there. It might not be the answer you want, you know, but it's like, and I ask that question to my coaching clients when they come to me and they're like, oh, there's this new thing, marketing thing I'm going to do. You know, they're excited. But great. Have you asked the question? Does it feed your confusion or strengthen your clarity of the business goals you set? No. Okay. Then why are you focusing on it? But I could make it. You know, I could be a millionaire, you know. Nope. You know, you have to be willing to say no. And you have to be willing to ask the hard question. So that's the question I ask myself. I was given that question. I'm passing it on. Definitely not something that I created. Richard Flint actually is the one that gave it to me. And I think it's a very important question as an entrepreneur and as a coach.
Yeah. Everybody has that struggle of the ideas, especially getting started. There's so many ideas and you don't know where to possibly start. But you have to kind of know, you can't know exactly. Somebody I was talking to last week on the show said a great thing, how you can't see, like from point A, you can never see point C because point B is in the way. So you have to get to point B first, but you kind of have to know where point C, the direction you're heading.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, it's just it. Does it feed my confusion? Does it make point C like absolutely gone, or does it make it a little bit clearer and easier to see? I love that.
Mm-hmm. And you don't have to know how the whole path is. I think when we...
You'll never will.
You never will. Yeah, I think that's... And I say that because someone might be thinking, God, I don't know. I'm having the wrong answer. I think one of the worst questions we as Americans, I could speak for America, I can't really speak for other countries. We as Americans ask our kids at the age of freaking 17, 18, what do you want to do with the rest of your life? Like, that's just so crazy. Like, come on, you know? What if they just focus on what you're focusing on now and do it really well? And the next thing that needs to happen will come your way. You know, just do great work. Just do great work. Just your goal is just to do great work at whatever it is, you know? And I think that honestly is could be just the intention and the focus.
Totally. And as long as it's pushing you towards clarity more so than more confusion, then
yeah.
you're heading in the right direction. And there's no, you'll never know where you end up, where you're going to end up in 6 months or a year or 5 years.
Yeah, things could shift. Things could definitely shift and be open to the road changing. The road's going to change. Mm-hmm. It's going to move around a lot. But as long as you're clear on that intention, then you know that the right things are going to show up. So it's not like if something comes at you and goes, well, it's not necessarily in alignment with where I'm headed. You can't change the route. I'm not saying that. It's like, well, just making sure that if you change this route, you're changing the route. You know, you're changing everything and you're going in that direction 100%. And you'll still get your goal out of it. You know?
Very well said. I like it.
Yeah. That was well said. I'm not trying to go in circles or be too esoteric. Am I being too esoteric out there?
No, it's great.
I apologize.
But we do have to wrap up. And I want to wrap up on this question that I've been asking all my guests recently. So it's this idea I'm coming up with called the entrepreneurial gap, which sometimes seems to be this place we live in as entrepreneurs and as dreamers. We're always setting our goals and our success into the future, which I agree we have to look to the future and push forward. But we always set goals 1 month, 3 months, 6 months, a year, when I get to stand on that stage, when I get to sell that many books, when I get to this part of this amount of revenue, I will be successful. Yet right before we get there, we set loftier ones into the future and we never get there. We end up in this weird gap that we're never where we want to be, and we never seem to look back at where we've actually come. So I would love it right now, Heather, if you could. You've been at this entrepreneurial game for quite a number of years now, and I'm sure you've had highs, you've had lows, you've had wins and losses. But I would love if you would stop and sort of look back behind you and tell me how you feel about everything you've accomplished as an entrepreneur up till today.
I want to answer that question. I'm going to answer the question, but I want to say one thing about the gap, because a mentor told me this once, and it was a hard lesson for me, is success is living in the gap. And the moment that you think the gap is closed, you create a new gap. And successful people constantly are creating and living inside the gap. There's no place to go, basically. There's no place to get to. And I think that's an important piece. If I look back at all the ups and downs and highs and lows and successes and failures, I think, one, I failed more than I succeeded. And everything happened for the best. Not a reason. Everything happened for the best. But I look back and I just say, you know, it's definitely been a journey and I have a long way to go. I'm definitely not where I want to be. And I'm in a gap right now, I think, in my business and in my life. And I now want to help other people get to where they want to go. But if I look back, it's definitely been an interesting journey. I never thought when I got out of college, this is the way my life was going to go. You know, I really thought it was going to be this perfect little thing and get married, have kids, live in a nice house. Everything's going to be fine. It's just easy, right? I didn't really think that my life was going to turn out as a entrepreneurial journey. It just wasn't what I set out to be until I just kind of thought, oh, this is who I am. And I think that's what happens as entrepreneurs. We just begin to figure out who we are, and then we just follow the journey. So I think it's all happened for the best, and I'm proud of everything that I've failed at, and I'm proud of everything that I created. But I've definitely failed more than I've succeeded.
Beautifully said.
Yeah.
Beautifully said. Okay, Heather, we've got to talk about your business in passing, but could you specifically tell the listener where to go find out more about you and your business?
Sure, absolutely. So heatherhavenwood.com, I'm a marketing coach, and I focus on and work with people that are already in business at some level. And, you know, I have also people that have been in business for 10, 20 years that we're working on them, taking them to the next level. So I work with them on their marketing, their sales, internally, externally, in their business. Heatherhavenwood.com, click on Work with Heather. And then for women, I have a book out for their empowerment, sexybossinc.com. It's more about the empowerment of women and my story as a female entrepreneur. And for men, I have a site called datingtriggers.com that teaches men how to date women, which is one of my other businesses.
Nice.
Yeah.
Very cool. I think all those books are linked. I think you have 6 books now. If that's correct,
I think something. 6 or 7.
Yeah, 6 or 7, and they're all linked on Amazon to an Amazon page.
Yes,
so I will link.
And Audible. One of them is on Audible.
Ooh, and Audible.
I'm proud of that.
They haven't sponsored my show yet, so I'm not even going to talk about Audible.
Oh, you know, sorry.
They might, but we'll see. We'll talk about them then. I'm totally joking. But I will link to heatherhavenwood.com, yep. Work with Heather, Sexy Boss Inc., and Canva, because we mentioned it. And if you haven't used it out there, you really should, as all of Heather's books on Amazon. I will link to them for you.
Thank you for having me. This was a lot of fun.
Yeah, this has been a blast. Thank you so much for taking the time.
You're welcome. You hacked my brain.
Yeah. So good. Heather, just please keep doing what you're doing down there in Austin, because it is awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thank you. I appreciate that. Honored.
Well, that was a lot of fun. I hope you enjoyed that conversation as much as I enjoyed partaking in it. Heather is a very, very smart lady and has a cool, unique, interesting perspective on entrepreneurship and creativity in general. And so I really, really enjoyed that. So as always, we hit the point in the conversation where I need to go back and I need to listen and I need to find something that Heather said. So I started with 6 things this time. Second time through, I got down to 3. Then there was 2. Then there was 1. There was that one thing that Heather said. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
A consultant will give you the answer or the path. Okay. That's what a consultant does. So like an educator, it's a trainer, as well as maybe do the work. Consultants sometimes do the work for you, or trainers will train you to do the work. But a coach doesn't do either one. A coach is more somebody that will make sure you're staying on the right path. The great side of that is football coach, baseball coach, making you the best player, but they never actually pick up the bat. You know, they never actually throw the ball for you. They're like, you're throwing the ball wrong. Throw it to the left, not the right. You said you want to be number one, right? Get out there again.
And that's the hack. Yes, yes, yes. Heather, I thank you for this. Of all the times I've talked about a coach or a consultant, I knew what a consultant was, but then a coach, I had an idea, but I really didn't know the simple distinction between the two. And so I hope that you find this valuable too, because a coach for, as you will know, if you've listened to enough of the episodes, so many successful entrepreneurs that have been on my show have coaches or have worked with consultants, lots of companies that they run. Typically, that's how I kind of see it, is like their company hires a consultant to do or teach them a specific thing and then maybe do it for them. Maybe like setting up a webinar funnel or working within their CRM software or something. You can hire consultants to do those things or somebody to do their paid advertising. But a coach is somebody that works personally with you, the entrepreneur. And this is something over the last year that I've thought about a lot, and I haven't actually taken the leap into getting my own coach. When I do take that leap, you'll be the first to know, but you probably won't be the first to know, but close. I will tell you as soon as I do make that decision and actually take action upon it. I just haven't felt like it's been quite right for me, but it is right for a lot of people. A lot of people right at this moment. And so I think that it's very valuable to know whether you are looking for a consultant or a coach. And so I'm glad Heather clarified that for us. Thank you, Heather. Well, that was a lot of fun. As always, thank you so very much for taking the time to join me today. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. I appreciate it. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/iTunes. I would absolutely love it if you could leave me a review. And if you're on an iPhone right now or an iPad listening to this, try something really cool. Hacktheentrepreneur.com/reviews. R-E-V-I-E-W-S. Yeah. If you can spell hacktheentrepreneur.com, reviews isn't going to bother you. But hacktheentrepreneur.com/reviews, it's a magical link. It'll make it so easy to leave a rating and review, you won't even believe it. Try that link right now. Unfortunately, it only works for iTunes at this point, but yeah, try it out. It's pretty darn snappy, I'd say. All right. Thank you very much. I do appreciate it. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.